Well, God bless everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and thank you, you wonderful Norwegian believers, for having me come and to share. I feel very honoured and privileged that we can share God's word with one another. And no matter the country, we've all got the same faith in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And it's just so great that we can come together and we can be like-minded and function as the body of Christ, the one body. So we may be many countries or different, you know, backgrounds, but there's only one body of Christ. And the word of God is our rule for faith and practice. And so what I really wanted to share tonight was an article I put together, which is on my blog, graceloveandtruth.com, and it's in the September newsletter. So you'll see it like that, and then you just click on it, and it'll open up into a PDF file, which you can actually download and save to your computer. And so the title of the teaching is Faith Is Now. And so it's been such a blessing to hear that this subject is being taught by many different people, yourself, shared and taught on the same subject, faith and confession. Mm-hmm. And since I've been looking at this subject, it's so important, and I think that is something that we need to really look at and stay focused on for a while until we really get the concept of what is faith, why we need to confess it, and how God would have us operate. And then when we look in the Bible, we see in Genesis chapter 1 all the way through that God said and it became. So God always spoke before he done something. And then when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, in many situations he would say what he wanted and it became. Mm-hmm. And so this is how we're to operate as believers. And so faith is a and confession is a spiritual law. Mm-hmm. And it's like the law of gravity. If you jump off the building, you're going down. You're not going to go up. And so this is a spiritual law that if we apply it, we can reap great abundance and great blessings. And I was thinking about Adam and Eve when, you know, God put them to work in the garden. Before they fell, they were to dress and take care of the garden. And a lot of biblical scholars believe that the Garden of Eden was the size of modern-day Iraq. Well, how big is modern-day Iraq? Very big, right? So how are two little people in modern-day Iraq that size going to dress that land? They're not going to do it with manual labour, but with what they say. They call those things, which are not as though they were. They're going to be like how God would do it. So God calls those things which are not as though they were. So that was how they would dress the garden. But when they fell, they was put outside of the garden, and then the work that they done was in the sweat of their brow. It was their effort, their labour. They had to labour. And today, there's a thing about entering into God's rest, where we allow God to do the work and we don't do the work, but we do the believing. We do what God shows us from his written word and what he's working in our heart. That's what we're to do. Religion and traditions of man show us that we have to labour, that we have to work hard, that we have to keep certain things, certain rules, certain regulations. And these things have put men and women into fear. Oh, I didn't do that and I didn't keep that. And, you know, when we got saved, did we have to earn our salvation? A lot of people think, because they haven't got right teaching, that they have to earn their salvation. Like when I first got witnessed to, I was told that you got to confess all your sins. Well, being 16 years old, that's a lot of sin, right? I can't remember 16 years worth of sin. And but the Bible says that we confess the Saviour from the sin. So in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if thou shalt say with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you say it and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it was with the heart, what we truly believe in our heart and same with our mouth, we then received Holy Spirit. Correct? We become born again, filled with the Spirit of God. And then we were made a new creation in Christ. God already sees you complete. He sees you already furnished and equipped. But right at the very point of being born again, that should show us that's how we should move, what we believe in our heart, what we say with our mouth. Okay, so we know that there's fear and there's the opposite side of fear. We've got faith, and the opposite side of faith is fear. So fear is faith in reverse. It works against us rather than for us. Mm-hmm. So on the negative side of faith, you've got worries, fears and doubts. And the old man is programmed into the worry, fears and doubts. How are we going to get our needs met? How am I going to be healed? How are we going to get a home? How are we going to get this? How are we going to get that? What's going to happen in the future? Mm-hmm. That's the fear side of life. And in our old man is programmed that way. Mm-hmm. But on the faith side is confidence and trust. So it's a confidence in trust in God and what's been made available to us through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. So we can operate. We can be schizophrenics. Sometimes believers are schizophrenic. They operate in the old man and then they operate in the new man. But we can, the more that we get to know what the Word of God says, and the more that we train ourselves in the Word by reading the Word, studying the Word, fellowshipping with one another, provoking one another unto love and to good works, like it says in Hebrews, then our faith, we can become more established in our faith, and then we can become, that new man could become more dominant than the old man. And at times the old man will rise up. But Paul says in Romans that we're to reckon our old man dead, buried with Christ, dead. See? And so God has given us everything that we need to live this complete life. It says in Colossians that we are complete in him who is the head of all things. And it's through a knowledge of the Word and knowing what God says about this, when we practice those principles, then we can start receiving everything that is available in the Word of God. All the promises that are yes in Christ and amen in Christ that are for us, when we start saying them and start speaking in that language, then we can start receiving what God says we should have, and we can start becoming that. Mm-hmm. So how we talk about ourselves, we usually become that way and act that way and think that way. So we need to start saying what God says about us. And that's why we're to look on everyone as Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when I look at Canute, I see Christ in him. I see him as Christ. And he's not Christ, but we see him as Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're to see each other like that. So that will set your mind in a direction to keep those thoughts coming and to keep yourself hot in what God says about the things. And so faith, there's a faith in God, and then there's a faith to apply what God has made available. And faith needs to be released. We need to release our faith. It's not just sitting there with mental assent. Well, I know what the Word of God says. I know what the promises of God says. And we still got the debts piling up, the sickness piling up, the bills coming in, the relationships breaking down. Okay, so that is going to profit no one. No one will want to know what you believe if your life is not showing the story of what God has made available. And people will look at us first before they really believe what we say. So I think the first thing with this faith and confession is that each individual should really practice this, take it very seriously, and practice it in their own personal walk. And we're not, I'm not perfect at it yet, and I'm still learning, I'm beginning. I've known about this, but I failed to continue to practice it, and I realised my mistake. So one morning, I woke up very early in the morning, which is unusual for me, 5 o'clock. And usually I wake up and it takes me a couple of hours to really get it together. But I was crystal clear, but I felt empty. And I went downstairs and I put my coffee cup under the coffee machine. And I said, God, bless me. And I punched the side of the thing. I said, God, what is this? Bless me. And I walked to the back door, and I know it's not about feelings, but the power and presence of God rushed up within me and was upon me outside. And the thought come to my mind, say what you want, not what you see. And I just got blessed. Like, say what you want, not what you see. Say what you want, not what you see. And I'm thinking, right, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then the first thing that come to my mind was prophets. They would foretell, they would speak what they wanted to see. Okay, mm-hmm. And obviously it was under the inspiration of God, but they would speak it forth, they would give it a voice. Mm-hmm. And God's word needs to be given a voice. So I rushed upstairs, I made the coffee, made Kim one, and she's in bed, fast asleep. And I said, Kim, oh, what is it? What's going on? She thought something was wrong. I said, you've been saying what you're saying what you see rather than saying what you want. What do you mean? I said, God just spoke to me. And I said, and this is what we need to do. In the next five and a half hours, I spent looking up the prophets and how they would speak and how they would declare. And then God just lovingly reminded me, just come back to this, what I'm going to share now. So all of us face situations, all of us face problems. There's no one in this room that's better than anyone else. We all got things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Some people keep it to themselves, which is a very good thing, mm-hmm. and don't say it, or they hide it, but they're not addressing it. So we need to learn to not confess our negatives to one another, but rather say what we want to see. Mm-hmm. So when God said, say what you want, not what you see, God was really saying to me, say the end result rather than what is there. Mm-hmm. Say the end result. Say what you want. Say what my word says, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not that we say, I want £1 million. Mm-hmm. I'm rich and I got a Rolls Royce, three mansions. I'm very popular. That's not where it's at. And that's where a lot of people make mistakes. I made that same mistake when I first learned this many years ago. I thought that's what we got to do. But no, it's not. I didn't really come back to the word and let God speak to me through his word. But we say the promises of God. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the scriptures and see what God says about it. I'm not going to cover all the scriptures now. I'm just going to go for a few just to whet your appetite. But if you want to know about this, you've got to go and do the research. Go and find out people that have taught on this. There's many people that have taught on this subject, many people that walk and live in this subject. And there's lots of things made available on my website. I'm not trying to promote me now, but we've done 12 teachings. And the very last teaching I put in the Faith series on my website, if you go to the menu bar at the top, when you go there, it says Faith series. Click on that and there's 12 teachings. Mm-hmm. And the very last teaching I put on, which really should have been the first teaching, but God showed me to put it last. And I share about when God showed me, say what you want, not what you see. Mm-hmm. So it's like a conclusion, even though it was chronologically, it was first, in this order it's last. So go and use the things that are available. You know, if you don't use the things that are available, then how are you going to grow? How are you going to say, yeah, I understand this now? So if you're interested and you want to know about faith and confession, then you apply yourself. That's the only thing I can say. I've had to apply myself. Many people can tell you. I'm telling you now from what I've worked. Mm-hmm. But it's going to do you no good unless you're really serious and want to understand this. And if you're struggling, you go to God. Say, Father, you show me how to understand this. And then if you're still struggling further, then go to someone that knows how to go to the scriptures that can help you to go and do your own research. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we say research, it sounds like real funky and out there. But it's not difficult. You don't have to be educated, you know, to a high standard to do research. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys have been doing word studies and stuff like that here, haven't you? And so if you want to know how to do it, it's very easy. And don't defeat yourself before you start. And I was a great defeatist in the past. You said, I can't do that. So I never bothered. But until I actually applied myself that, oh, yeah, I can actually do this. And all right, I don't know all of it right now, but I know little bits to get me going. So we want to develop people to not connect to us, but connect to God and to, like, you come to the fellowship to be blessed right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But God wants you more than just blessed right now. He wants you blessed every single day so that when you go away, you're equipped, that you know that you can pray, that you know that you can say the right thing, that you can go to the word, that you've got other people you can go to that will confess the right things along with you and say what God says to keep you encouraged. So, and like with this fellowship, God was showing me, I believe it was God showing me, and I said to Siri, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I believe that this is going to be double the believers by next year, this fellowship here. And so how is that going to happen? By you speaking the word, declaring the word. By you say it, say the end results, and then there might be some corresponding action, like witnessing, sharing with other people. So there's corresponding actions, there's actions that we can take and do. So this stuff is, it's really simple when we get the religion out of it. Because God isn't religious.
Simple and powerful.
Amen, sister. Yeah, simple and powerful. And that's how simple it is. So with regardless of what the problems you've got, God has given you the answers in his word and the practical application so that you can overcome these situations. So if you go to, take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 5. So either the word of God is true or it's a lie. And a lot of people that don't apply the word of God, they kind of have that mindset. Well, it's not 100% true because it doesn't work. But you need to put your faith to work. So you need to release it with words and actions. Words and actions. That's how you release your faith. It needs to be carried. Like God said, let there be light. There wasn't light, but he said, let there be light. And he could say it because he is the God of light. And it was. So I would encourage you in your personal study to read the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1. And see where God says, and it was. God says, and it was so. God says, and it was so. He spoke it, it became. And but 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our believing. Our believing is what overcomes the world. But what is it? What believing are we believing? We're believing the promises of God. We're believing what God says to us. It's not believing in our best friend that may be successful in the world, but it's believing the promises of God. And I looked at a couple of the words. I looked at this overcometh the world. And when you look at the Greek, it means to conquer. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh, or to conquer. So in other words, to conquer something, there must be something in your way. What's in your way? Your problem, your situation, your dilemmas. Okay, and it says, and this is the victory. And when I looked up this, the word victory, it means the means of success. So you can read it like this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, to conquer. And this is the means of success that overcometh the world, our faith. Now, I just shared with you that faith needs to be released. So we need to find the promises of God for our situation. And we need to say that promise of God about our situation. But usually we get a situation, oh, I got this debt and I'm just never going to get out of it. So we're calling that to us. We're calling that. So in other words, the situation stays the same. But when we declare God's word, okay, there's this debt, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We say what God says. God is my sufficiency in all things, that I may abound to every good work. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. My God is my sufficiency in everything. So we say what God says, and then we want to kind of paraphrase the word of God. So you might want to quote the scripture, but you can also paraphrase it and make it your own. You see what I'm saying? So this is what I'm still learning to do, but I'm getting there. and we'll get there quicker. So, but before you can actually say the word of God, you've got to know it. You've got to know where these promises are. Like in Isaiah, it says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against you, thou shalt condemn. For this is inheritance of the servants of the Lord. So that word weaponed, when you look at it in the Hebrew, is whatsoever. That's whatsoever is a fantastic word, right? So no whatsoever that is fashioned, that word fashioned is formed or made to come against you, is going to prosper. But I'm prospering in the Lord. I'm prospering because my soul's prospering in the word. So you can see what I'm saying, paraphrase, but you're still saying the word of God. See, so no, so whatever is made from the devil to come against you, it's not going to prosper. So, and it says, no weapon that or whatsoever that is made to come against you shall prosper. And every tongue, negative tongue, that rise up against you, you shall condemn. This is an inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And someone said to me, yeah, but we're not servants, we're sons. In relationship to God, we're sons, but in service, we're doulos, servants. So we can claim, that's a promise we can claim right there. See, so it's just knowing this and then God, letting God work in you and giving you the thoughts, the ideas, and then you declare it. Like Psalms 91 for protection. You can go there, read what Psalms 91 says, and make that your confession. See, so when you're going in such, I mean, when I travel, I say, Father, I thank you that your angels have gone before me to prosper my journey. Okay, and to make my way safe. And I thank you that any problem is made a plain in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it out loud. And it is. It's so. And I don't hesitate in my heart about it. I just know it's done. That's faith. And then it becomes. And then you rejoice because you know what you've declared and you know the word of God works. So, and then in verse 5 it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Who believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, okay then. So you overcometh the world. So don't say, well, I'm not. I'm going to defeat it at the moment. No, you've overcome the world. You call the end result. It's very simple. Now, I haven't kind of written it this way like I'm saying now. But I'm just saying these things to give you an idea. So I put here, it is our faith in God and Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and claiming the promises of God, we overcome. Instead of confessing and looking at the circumstances, we are to say what God says and act accordingly as God is working in us and leading us by his Spirit. Because we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. See, it's not our effort, it's God's effort. And God is constantly, every moment, working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when our mind is set to focus on God and his promises, then we can hear. We're not being distracted. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, there's another great record. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, while we look not at, and I looked at those words, look not at, and it means regard. So it says, while we look not at or regard the things which are seen, we don't regard the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the promises of God. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What's eternal? The word of God, the promises of God. God magnified his word above all his names. He set it in the stars, right? It is there forever. This word of God lives and abides forever. So that's the things that are not seen. Now, to bring it into manifestation, we need to say it. See? And the things that are in this world are temporal. So that means your problem is temporal until you get confessing the word of God. See? And this is the wisdom of God. It's not my wisdom. But I think it's years of learning and making mistakes and not understanding certain things. But when we really set our heart to God, then he will open the things to us. When we really put other people aside and focus on what God wants us as individuals to do, then he'll show us and then we can bring that to the people. But if I'm following a man or a woman or a ministry all the time, going along with what they're saying all the time, then I'm going with their focus. But God's got an individual call for each of us and he wants us to walk powerfully. So I would really encourage you with your personal walk with God so that you can bring something to the fellowship, that you can encourage the people, and that you can also see the power of God at work in your own personal life when you're sharing with unbelieving friends, people that you love, people that you care, family members. My daughter Leanne, she comes along. And she doesn't come to fellowship. She believes she's born again, but she doesn't really do anything. But I'm sharing with her constantly. And she was, you've seen her on the video the other night. She said, oh, was it Dad? We say what we want, not what we see. So she knows, like I'm feeding her and she's getting the blessings now because she's starting to catch on. Okay. And then we was on holiday. I was on holiday with Kim and we're walking and Kim was talking about a situation and I kept my mouth shut. And she said, she goes, you're keeping quiet. I said, yeah, because I'm not going to confess that situation. And she said, you're right, we need to say what we want, not what we see. So it's already having an impact, you know, and Kim really seen that, and it really blessed me a lot. So I said, why don't you just say what you want to see from the Word of God in that person's life or in that situation there? I said, then we'll get a different result. And so she said, you're right. And she was very humble and started to do that. And but sometimes it's so easy because the old man nature in us, when we allow him to rise up, that person, blah, 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 blah. So how do you see this fellowship? What do you want to see? What do you want to happen? Then start talking it. Start talking it. We can all look, well, it's not really that many people, and we're saying what we see. Mm-hmm. And in India, they practice this. And they don't talk negative. They really do not talk negative. And certain people that I learned from over there, when you get around them, when I look back, I didn't hear a negative come from them. And they always said what they wanted, and they got what they wanted, because they were saying what God wanted. And God was first in their life. Even though they had family and stuff like that, God was the first priority. But all the things in the family, they also was able to do and be blessed, because God was first. So it's very simple. It's not that we got to make a great sacrifice, okay? In the fact, well, I got to give up my family. For years, I done it wrong. And I want to share these things just for your example. Like, we would have fellowship, and I would spend more time with the people in the fellowship and leave my family to the side. Oh, love, but I'm with the fellowship. Liang, oh, Dad, no. Come to fellowship if you want to get chatting. That's totally wrong. I was totally wrong. And I don't mind saying that, because I know it was wrong now. But at the time, I really thought I was putting God first. Mm-hmm. But see, it's me, my wife, my family, and then the Church of God, you know? So when I got my order right and my priorities right, then things started to go more smoothly. Mm-hmm. And then my family's blessed. And then the people I'm ministering to are blessed. So I'm not letting, as someone said to me, don't let people steal your time. So I'm not letting people steal my time in that area. Mm-hmm. Some people need more working with, mm-hmm. so you give them the time they need. But instead of talking negative, which is so easy to do, we got to say what we want to see about that person. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught in a trap when someone starts to talk about someone else. It's so easily, the natural reaction is to start, yeah, I see what you're saying, mm-hmm. and we get all concentrated. Don't do that. Just keep quiet and ask God, Father, what do I say? Is really, really powerful stuff, and is a practice. So you will make mistakes. I've done it. Hands up. It's no problem. Okay, but the more we do it, the more we start it become a part of who we truly are in Christ. So these things, I'm sharing a lot of practical things, but it's all from the Word of God, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you go there. And in verse 20 it says, for all the promises of God in him, Christ, are yea, and in him, Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So all the promises of God are yes and yes. So when we claim those promises of God, it's a done deal. So, see, you're not healed because the pain's gone. You're healed because the Word of God says you're healed. And when we hold that confession, then we get the manifestation. See? It may not be immediate. Some people get healed totally right away and is immediate, and they say, what a great miracle, which it is. But people that manifest the healing a week later, no one shouts about it. It's the same thing. It's just where the person's faith is. And that's what we're to do. We're to work with people's faith level. So in witnessing, when you see someone that's not a believer and a door opens to you, speak into their life. You know, speak good things into their life. Tell them how wonderful they are. Tell them how God sees them. As if Jesus Christ was speaking to them. You know, because you are his representative. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got the word of reconciliation to bring back to God. So the words you got, God will give you them in that situation. It may not be chapter and verse, verses of scripture you're quoting, but it may be word orientated, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So The best way for the confession and for your faith to rise is for you to say the word to yourself. Like, ye are of God, little children. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. Okay, like 1 John 4:4. I say it out of my own mouth. I'm going to believe my words more than I'm going to believe your words, right? And when you speak the word, it's getting into your heart. It's becoming a part of you. So then you've got something to release in faith. Instead of it just being off the cuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. John chapter 9, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's not with heart. It's got to, what you're saying, you've got to believe it in here. When that's lined up, bang, power. Power's released. Because a lot of people can quote scripture and it don't do nothing for you. But when they're saying it with faith, it's like, wow, this is really great what this person's saying. Because that person really believes what he's saying. Can you see? And Jesus Christ said what he meant and meant what he said, and so did God. And we need to get that type of faith. And we got it. It's all wrapped up in Christ. And the word of God helps us to release that. In 1 Peter 1:23. And what I'll do, I'll go a little bit quicker now, so you don't have to go there, but I'll read it out. If you want to go there, then you can. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This word of God is never going to die. It's never going to fail. It's a prevailing word. And when it's on the lips of your believing and coming from your heart, then the thing that God, you declare will come to pass, because you're not declaring your own word, you're declaring his word, see? So it's something that we really have to practice, and I believe that the body of Christ really needs this. Really needs it. We can shake up the world by this. And when each one of us do this as individuals and get the concept of this, then we start changing our world. If you've got a bad relationship, husband, wife, brother, sister, auntie, aunt, start saying good about them. Start saying what you want. That God has healed this relationship. It's a done deal. Even if you have an argument when you see them next, or they try and get you into an argument, just talk good about them. And you can pray. There's things that we pray for also. We cast all our cares to him. And God is helping us and he's working with us. And you can say to God, Father, give me a confession to say about this person from your word that I can declare. And look up relationships. Look at David and Jonathan. They're great relationships. And relationships that are broken and been restored. The Apostle Paul and Peter, they had a blowout. 14 years didn't speak, but then God restored it. Why? Because God was first, and they had the same goals to move for God, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, we're free. We're free. We're not under any bondage or law. But what are we free for? To do our own thing? No, to live unto God. And God gave me a theme for my fellowship this year, which was live unto God. But that theme is for everyone. Okay. So it says in, just coming to my mind now, Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God. Who are you proving it to? Your next door neighbor? Another believer to show how spiritual you are? No, you're proving it to yourself. God wants you to prove his word to yourself. So get confessing and get declaring. Start proving this word to yourself. See, and that's the easiest way I look at this thing. I'm not going to prove it for you. I've got to prove it to me first so I can be fully persuaded of what I'm saying is right. I know the word of God works. This is why I'm declaring it. This is why I'm teaching it. See, so it's really powerful stuff, isn't it? Really fantastic. This word of God is powerful, and you just got to get the concept. And I don't really care how many times you listen to different faith teachings, you think, well, it don't work. You can't just say what you want. You can say what you want if you're saying the promises of God, if you're not declaring the circumstances. And believe me, I know, because I've declared the circumstances for most of my life. But now things are changing, because now I'm changing what I'm saying. And I'm getting the word of God as my base and my rule for faith and practice. It's not based upon a preacher. It's based upon the scriptures, the holy scriptures, what God says from his word. And then God's working that in me. And like I said, you don't have to quote chapter and verse, but you can paraphrase it. Just like Jesus Christ did in Matthew 4:1, when the devil was quoting scripture at him, and Jesus Christ said, it is written. He may have said it a little bit differently to how it was written, but he said it is written. So it's just really, there's so many examples there. Now we'll look at Hebrews 11:1. And this is just a great record. And it's taken me years to understand this one verse. I never really got it. You know, people change the words and all this to help me understand. But it's not until God gives you a revelation of it that you can really understand it. Most of what we taught is based upon other people's revelation of the word. But God's got a revelation to give to you so that you can understand it, that you can communicate it, your language, your way, how you are as a person. God works with us all personally. And then we can bring it to the table. You know, then we can bring it to the body of Christ. And then we can encourage one another, lift one another up. So in Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now you can work this yourself and look at all the individual words. And if, in fact, actually, if you read chapter 10, the last few verses before it, it leads into this. So you can get the context. But in the context, faith isn't now in the context. Okay? In the context of the writing. Now, here it says, now faith is. In the context, it isn't right now. But faith itself is in the present tense. Is right now. So we believe that we've received something even before we manifest it. So it's a done deal now. And so faith is the substance or confidence, okay, or evidence of things hoped for. We haven't got it yet, but our faith says we have. That's the confidence that we've got it, yeah? The proof of things not seen, or the evidence of things not seen, is already ours. Like God says, let there be light, then it was. It is simple when we allow God to work in our hearts and go over it and work the individual words with the concordance. Then you'll start to, oh, right. So faith is in the present tense. If it isn't the present tense, then it isn't in the past tense. If it's in the future tense, then it's not faith, it's hope. Future tense is hope. So we get that understanding. And so when you go through the Word of God, you can look at, okay, what's present tense, what's past tense, what's future tense? And it will really help you to get the Word in its context and you can understand it more clearly. Okay, so to understand Hebrews 11:1, the best place to go in the Scripture and let the Word explain itself is in Mark 11. Now, like I said, I've had many people try and explain it to me. But it wasn't until God showed me to go to Mark 11:22 to 24 that the word really explains here, it explains Hebrews 11. So I'll let you get there. I have a sip of my coffee. Oh, you know. Ah, lovely. Okay, so Mark 11 and in verse 22. And it says, "And Jesus answering said unto them." Now he's answering a question about the fig tree that he had cursed previously. And Jesus Christ, he spoke to the fig tree, he cursed it and it died. And Peter brought it up. Look, the tree that you cursed is dead. Then he goes on to teach them. He's trying to get them to operate in the same way he operates. See, and it's there for the word of God here is there for our learning, that we can operate the same way. We can operate the same way as Jesus Christ. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is right now at the right hand side of God, so are we in this world. That's what the scriptures say in 1 John. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God," or "have the faith of God," it could be also be translated as. "For verily," and this word verily can be truly or surely. I like the word surely. It says, "For surely I say unto you that whosoever shall say," and that word "say" can also be "speak," and I like to use the word "speak" there. It makes it more easy, right? Because that's what we're doing. Saying something and speaking to something is two different things, right? So I say unto you that whosoever, so an unbeliever, how they confess, whether it's positive or negative according to the world standards, that's what they receive. So when you see these successful businessmen, very successful in business, when you speak with them, they're very positive. They don't hold around negatives. They're very confident. And they're not claiming the promises of God, and they're very successful. So how much more does God want us successful when we claim his word? See, God wants us to be successful in every avenue in our life. Work, relationships, ministering, declaring his word to other people. In every area, it's available. This is the hope we got now, and we can bring it into manifestations if we just grab the concepts of faith, knowing it's a spiritual law, and it works for saint or sinner. Like if we say the negatives, we get the negatives. If we say what we're seeing, oh, everything's going wrong, this is not working. However you think about someone, say the end result. And keep saying it until it comes to pass. It will come to pass. The word of God will come to pass. Okay, that whosoever shall speak unto this mountain. Mountains in the word of God always refer to, unless they're talking about a proper mountain, this is figuratively talking about problems. So whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou, now listen to the language. And God got me to read this slowly again. Like, he's like, Lawrence, slow down, read. Read it slowly. He's actually showing you how to say, how to speak. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. And this word doubt, again, is hesitate. You know, like sometimes you can hesitate in something. You're going to do it, but you're like, oh, I'm not too sure. We can't have that. Like, no hesitation, right? And shall not doubt in his heart. Heart is where believing comes from. Okay? But shall believe that those things which he speaks shall come to pass. So you're going to believe what you're saying is going to happen, is already going to come to pass. Mm. He shall have whatsoever, anything, basically, he speaks. Whatsoever it is. So that works for unbelievers. How much more would it work for us on lips of believing with the promises of God behind it? So you want many labourers, then you say you've already got them. Father, I thank you that you've sent the labourers. I thank you that they're already here. People look at you, he's crazy. There's no labourers there. That's fine. Let's be crazy for Jesus then, shall we? That's how we got to speak. Whatever it is, just using that one as an example, but that's a good one. I've got many labourers. Where are they? Oh, they're on their way. They're coming. So India, they speak like that. I ministered to many people over there, and I haven't seen a meet at healing. I said, well, do you want me to minister again? It's done. They say it's done, and they do that very confidently. It's done. And then I found out later, a couple of days later, they manifest their healing. So it's helping us to focus. It says in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. See, me and Siri was talking the other day. See, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and he shall direct your path. So when we trust in that word, then we know what course of action to take.
Where was this?
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Take that slow bit.
Proverbs.
Come to what we said to
who's
say
broken
it?
There? Who's broken there? Copy it there.
Yeah.
Verse 5 to 6. 5 to 6, wasn't it?
Yeah. Proverbs 5 and 6, yeah. 5 or 6. Yeah, and it says.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Who's broken it? Copy it there.
Yeah. Verse 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then it says, in all thy ways. In all thy ways, speaking, acting, talking, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he should direct your path. He'll show you what to do, where to go. It's very simple. James, you can write down James chapter 3. I'd like you in your personal time to read James chapter 3. So it talks about the tongue and how it's an unruly evil. So that's another good one to help you to research and go through and look at. So that was Mark 11, 22 and 23. Now we're going to read Mark 11, 24. And I love this. I absolutely love this one. It says, therefore, Jesus said, after he said this wonderful revelation here, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. I looked up this word desire. And do you know what you can also be translated as? Call for. Mm-hmm. So you call for a dog. What does it do? It comes to you, right?
But means, does it mean that you're opening your mouth?
Yeah, you call for it. Yeah. So when you pray, you're calling on God. Mm-hmm. Like Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I like the word call for is because God calls those things not as though they were. He calls it first, then it becomes. So I call my dog comes. Mm-hmm. All right? So it's very simple. It's like faith is like a sat nav. So you've got this sat navigation system in your car. What do you call it here?
GPS.
Yeah, GPS. Mm-hmm. So your address is, your home address is Lawrence 123. That's your postcode. And I go outside and I put Lawrence 123. Where is it going to take me? Nowhere. Because I put me in and I'm already there. And that's what it is when we say the circumstances. When we say what we see, it's just like programming our GPS with our own home address where we're already at. But if I put Carl Morton's address in, Carl Morton 123, it goes beep, 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 beep. And I can see the end result. And that's the easiest way to really explain faith. So we need to call the end result rather than what we see right now. So if you keep saying, oh, this is this, it's gonna, you're going to stay right where you are. But God wants to advance you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to abound. He wants you to be his witnesses. He wants you to declare his word, bring people from darkness to light. You're his laborers. He's got you. He's committed the word of the ministry and word of reconciliation to us. So someone spoke the word to you. When they done that, they operated in that ministry of reconciliation. So then you say, God, open the doors for me so I can declare your word with boldness, that I can be those laborers. And apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, which one are you? Are you a prophet? Yeah. Well, ask God. See, as you get moving, as you start to apply yourself in your personal life as well as the fellowship, you'll start to see what you are. But all of us can evangelize. All of us can teach. In fact, all the gift ministries need to be able to teach. All of them. Okay, but how many are there really speaking God's word? How many are really prophesying what they want to see of God's word? See, that's God wants us to rise up. He's calling us to a higher level of faith and living in him in this senses world. But the only way it's going to change is when you personally, as individuals, apply it. When you bring it together, it's powerful. The devil don't want you to have this information. He doesn't want you to have. He wants you to sit there and doubt it, like there's no tomorrow. And here, bring things into your mind, but it can't be because of this. Well, let the word of God clear it up for you, like he did for me. Don't go to anyone else. Go to the word. And go through all the patterns of the word. And all through the scriptures, you'll see this is how they operated. And this is how we're to operate today. Mm. By what we say, what we see from the word of God. We say what the word of God says rather than what we see. So I love that. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you call for, when you pray, believe, that means have confidence, that you receive them. And this word receive is lambano, it means manifest. Believe that you manifest them, and you shall have them. You've got to believe that it's already yours. Healing is already yours. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Psalms 107, verse 20, I believe. There's many great and precious promises, and all the promises of God are ours. All the promises that were given to Abraham are ours through Jesus Christ. See, it's just really, really great. Right, let's quickly skip a few things here. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, if you go there, we'll go back to Hebrews 11. Like if you've got a bad back, for instance, and someone says, how's your back? Is an opportunity to confess the negative about it or to confess the circumstance. But when they ask you, say, by his stripes I'm healed. You don't have to deny if you've got a problem, but you don't have to agree with the problem. Can you see what I'm saying? So we just say, we ask God for words of wisdom so that we can speak it if someone asks us about a situation.
Mm.
No, well, I'm healed by, I'm the manifestation's on its way.
Mm.
See, so we don't have to feel condemned because we're not manifesting something, because it's already done. That's the real truth of it. We are already healed. And then when someone comes along, yeah, but I can still see you're in pain. By his stripes I was healed. The manifestation is on its way. It's already complete. Can you see? That's how you got to think. Now, people say you're mad. You're crazy. Someone said to me the other night, I'm crazy. I said, yeah, I am. I'm quite proud of that. That's fine.
People are calling me weird.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Jesus' family called him mad. He said he lost the plot. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, believing, but without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, who are we pleasing near God? So it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's going to reward you as you go after his heart, as you go after understanding, as you go after direction, as you go to him individually. We put our faith too much in leaders and ministries. Put your faith in the living God and let him do mighty wonders. Now, it's not that we need the gift ministers. God put them there. So there is a respect, but the leaders are there to serve. They're there to serve you, to perfect the saints. So what do they perfect? The thing that's lacking in your faith. That's what they're to perfect. They're helpers of your faith. Not to lord it over you. That's what the Word of God says it in Corinthians. They're helpers. I'm to help your faith. That's my service, is to help your faith. Whoever God puts me in front of, I'm to help their faith. I'm to speak good things into their life, to speak the promises of God into their life. You are blessed, you are healthy, you are prospering, you're increasing, you're abounding. See, these are how God would speak to you. This is how Jesus Christ would speak to you. Somebody else come in, oh, you're this, you're that, and you're like, oh God, I don't want to be around this person. You're condemned, you didn't do this. No. This is the Word of God. This is the true Word of God, which sets us free. It's not rules and regulations. You know, we have authority. See, not only do you release your faith when you speak the Word, okay, but you're releasing your authority. You have authority in Christ. You're seated at the right-hand side of God. You're in Christ Jesus. You are before God in Christ Jesus right now. And scientists say that atoms can be at two places at one time. Well, God is where he is, and we're here, and we're at two places at one time. So what God has bound in heaven can be bound on earth, and what we bind on earth can be bound in heaven. So we say what God says, and that's what we're going to establish here on earth as we live and move and have our being. And it's a practice. We've got to kind of, I think I would really encourage you guys to stay in this subject and to work it more. There's many angles. We've done a wonderful word study last night with Siri, and we were seeing, you could see through this study that faith can be great, faith can be little, and faith can be mega. You know, mega? Mega. Right? Faith can be mega. So I want mega faith. I don't just want big faith or great faith. I want mega faith. And a little old lady who didn't even have no rights to go to Jesus Christ, because she was outside of the house of Israel, and Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel at that time. She had no right to really go to him. And heal my daughter. No, I you know, it's wrong for me to give the bread to dogs. He was calling this woman a dog. And she said, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs get fed from the crumbs. And he said, great faith. That's mega. She had mega faith. See, faith stops. Start carries on where other people stop. That's what faith does. It continues. It doesn't give in. It's like a pit bull on a rabbit hunt. It stays there until you get the desired results. What results are you looking for in your life? Stay there. Don't get discouraged. God is a God of encouragement. It's powerful. It's really exciting. There were a couple of other things. Now, again, you can look at the newsletter online, which I encourage you to do. There's Romans, it talks about Abraham. And then I went to the... We're finished off in 2 Peter. I got to finish off there. So faith is trusting God's word to us, regardless of our situation. We claim God's promises to us. We know that they are ours. It's a done deal. And the manifestation of the promise will certainly come. We say what God says. We come into agreement with the word of God. We speak to the problem. We use our authority in Christ. That's what I got written down there. That's what we're to do. Use your authority. Talk to the mountains. Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then it goes on to say in 1 Samuel about the mountain being made a plain. When a mountain's made a plain, it means it's brought down to the ground. So your problems, through the confession of the word of God from your lips of believing, will bring down your problems to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And God will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to walk with majesty and like his son did. He wants you to walk like his son did on this earth. Jesus said in, what's it, John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Have you seen the greater works? I don't think I have yet. May have done, I don't know, I may have missed it. I may not have recognised it, but I've seen people healed, I've seen people set free. But there's more to come. There's signs, there's wonders, not that we seek after signs. But there's more things for us to see and experience, which God wants us to see this. He wants to show us, look, this is how great I am. Not that God's a show-off, because he's not. He's a God of love, and he's wonderful. But God wants to say, look, this is what your daddy can do for you if you put your confidence in me. And God is our dad. He's our heavenly father. So we'll finish off in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is I've read this before, never understood it. Never understood it until now. And I read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Got little bits from it. But in the context of this subject, it just grabbed me by the neck. And I'm like, oh, look, here I am. God's saying, this is it. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 1 it says, Simon Peter, a servant, doulos. See, he was a son of God, but he, in his service, he's a doulos. He's a sold out bond slave, committed to do the work of the Father. To put God first. He was sold out to that. And when you get to that point where you're sold out for God first, then you're going to see the glory of heaven in the earth. So Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. This is precious faith we got. Precious faith. Maybe you could do a word study on that word, precious. I don't know. But it's great. I love that word. Precious. This is precious. Not everyone's got what we got. There are millions that do have it, but not everyone's got it. And we want to share our faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then look at this lovely verse here, verse 2. Grace, favour. God is saying through Peter, grace and peace be multiplied. If you've got a little bit of peace, then you know you're missing out. God wants it to be multiplied. Not just one or two or three, but millions of peace, grace, favour. Be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God, how he operates, how he moves, and of Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants us to know how they operate, how they move, what it is we're to do. And it's all there written in this legal binding contract called the Holy Scriptures. And then, you know, when we see, God watches over his word to perform it. It's a contract type of thing. If you look at it like this, I'm trying to explain it. So it's a contract. So when we keep our part of this contract, then God keeps his part. But he's not obligated to keep his part to you if you're not keeping your part. So we're in a relationship, like a marriage relationship. There's responsibilities to one another, and we have to maintain that. We have to work it at times, right? Sometimes work hard. But when God's in it, it's easy. You know, when we're walking in love, we're tender, caring, kind, these type of things. It says, verse 3, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You need these scriptures, baby. We need to know them. Mm-hmm. And we need to have someone to teach us if we don't understand them. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, massive, exceeding great and precious promises. These are precious promises. All those promises in God which are yes and amen are precious promises. That by these, what? The precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Mm.
To live this life that Jesus Christ will. Isn't that amazing? I really understand this scripture a lot more than I ever did. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that will corrupt your faith. When we're running after money, when we're running after people, running after sex, running after the things in this world, that will corrupt your faith. Because we're in a corrupt world. And then that means you're walking in your old man nature, you're responding with that old man rather than the new man, overcoming it. And see, we got the power to overcome sin because Christ has paid for it. So when people think, well, I can't overcome this problem in this area of my walk, it's a lie from hell. We can overcome it. We got overcoming power. And when we're in Christ, we overcome it when we're in him. Can you see? It's not from your effort. If you're trying to stop a problem in your life right now in your strength, you'll stay with that problem. But when you allow God to work, when you put your focus on him, you'll overcome that problem. It'll melt off you. Just like doing this slimming world, my fat is melting off me. I lost 3 pounds today. Oh. Right? So it's the same type of thing. When we walk in fellowship with the Father, having our minds lined up to the great and precious promises of his word, then any problem or area of your life that you think is real sin, which Jesus Christ has already paid for, will fall off you. It won't be a problem to you no more. There won't be no condemnation to you no more.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people are condemning themselves somewhere in their walk in this room, and God doesn't want you to condemn yourself. You are righteous. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are redeemed. See, you are mighty sons and daughters of the Most High God, and all of you can walk with great authority. So anyway, we get to finishing off here. So you can be partakers of the divine, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You need to look up the word virtue. And to virtue knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of the local Sunday Times? No, I think it's the knowledge of the word about God and about Jesus Christ. And to knowledge, temperance, which is self-control. And to, which is also a fruit of the Spirit. And to temperance, patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is the love of God in operation in our life. For if these things be in you, you know, they're starting to manifest from your life, they're in your heart, they're manifesting, they're in practice and abound, they make that you neither shall be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You've been purged from your old sins, right? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling. See, we've been called. You know, God calls those things not as though they were. Your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You don't want to fall? Then do these things. So that's what I wanted to share. So I hope that's helped you. And again, you can look at the whole teaching online. And you can download it or save the PDF file to your desktop. And then just go through it. Get a concordance up. If you need help with that, then there's great people here that know what they're doing. And look at each individual. In fact, look at all the words. You'll have fun doing it. And it takes some time off if you've got, you know, if you've got nothing to do. So, God bless you. And there's my notes for someone who ever wants them to.